Welcome to the podcast, Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite. I'm Dr. Laura Sokola, your host, and our focus is on mastering communication as an essential leadership skill so that you can command the room, connect with the audience, and close the deal in any context. After over 200 episodes, we are a top 1% podcast globally, thanks to you. So if you love listening to these conversations as much as I love sharing them with you, please take 30 seconds to leave us a 5-star rating and review, or just go to the website ratethispodcast.com/influence and follow their super simple instructions. On with the show. My guest this week is Kate McQuaid. Kate is the Vice President of Marketing at P360, a life sciences SaaS company. She's got 20 years in marketing, always in the tech space, and most recently in the life sciences. And Diversity Alliance for Science just named P360 as Innovator of the Year for their newest product, Zing. Oh my goodness. Congratulations. And Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura.
What is your fun fact?
Fun fact is I'm actually in Annapolis, Maryland, which is the sailing capital of the U.S. So yeah, lots of good scenery around here.
Are you a sailor?
I am. Yes, I grew up sailing, but you know, powerboat, sailboat, kayak, any way to get on the water is good with me.
That sounds great. I'll be over soon. And yes, Annapolis is such a beautiful town. Now tell us about the company. What's your 30-second elevator pitch?
So P360 is a SaaS company, and we help with communication needs. So whether it's compliant communication between an HCP and a pharmaceutical rep, or if it's between a doctor and a patient, it helps to make that communication streamlined and compliant and safe so that everybody's kind of covered there, and also helps with the back end with that communication and making sure that there's logs and that the data can actually be stored in a usable manner. So anything with communications, we try to make that easier.
Easier in tech. Yes, that's definitely something that I appreciate. I'm always amazed that somebody actually figured out a way to make a computer happen. I'm lucky if I can just figure out how to use it. So thank you for all that you do. What is the most important leadership communication lesson you had to learn, and how did you learn it?
I think the most important leadership communication lesson that I had to learn was really collaboration. So really to not take everything on yourself and to make sure that you can collaborate with different parties and what they know, and you can delegate those different feature sets. I really, really just think that fundamentally that makes you a better team and that you raise better ideas that way. And so really kind of getting that communication to collaborate and making sure that other people have a say in what they're doing really is something that's benefited me throughout my journey. And I find a lot of useful applications of that.
Was there an inflection point when you realized, you know what, I'm really not doing enough of this and it's not sustainable and my head's going to fall off if I keep on this trajectory. So something's got to give.
Yeah, I think definitely early in my career, I really tried to take it all on myself and wasn't asking enough questions when I was a little bit lost. So that clarity and being able to collaborate with people who've done it before, or maybe they have some other background in it, and really asking those questions and making sure that you understand the, you know, the audience or the purpose or the goal, that really has helped me to really make better decisions and move forward to reach those goals and to make sure that I can move beyond them. It's been really empowering for me too, to make sure that I understand that and to really have dealt with my different team members and different personalities along my career path. Because early on, I felt like I didn't want to ask for a lot of help. I felt like I wanted to say, oh, I can handle this on my own. But there's really a lot of strength in asking for help from my team. And so that I've really helped to kind of flush that out as my career has progressed.
You just said something really important. You said that there's strength in being able to ask for help. That's a very big mental shift. When did that happen? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think so. Career-wise, I believe it happened probably in my first 2 or 3 years. You know, you're pretty green when you start any career path, and I was no different. And I remember getting a lot of workload on my plate, and I had a particular project, which was something I had never done before. It had to do with some graphics that I had to do. I didn't know how to use the program. I really needed help. And I just had this epiphany that I knew I couldn't do as good of a job as I wanted to if I didn't ask for help. And that helped me not only later in my career because I got to learn something new and learn new software, but it also helped me to be able to gain that trust for the people that I asked help for. So it actually helped from a lot of different angles, and it made it faster because me asking for help so that I can be trained in something that I didn't have experience in before, it really helped to gain my confidence in that one skill set and then keep moving that on and the snowball kind of rolling down the hill.
Do you remember who you first asked for help or for what kind of help and how you did it?
It was really just my manager at the time. And I had to go and say, hey, I'm not sure how to do this. And the funniest part of it was I was so nervous to go to her. And she didn't know how to do it either. So we kind of had a good chuckle about it. And so she was like, let's find the resources so that we can both learn how to do it. So I think that when you aren't in the know and you don't know and you feel that self-consciousness, I kind of have to remember that maybe those other people don't know all the answers too, and that's okay. So having that communication, it just kind of streamlines that process to get to the end goal. Because if you sit here twiddling your thumbs and, you know, if I didn't ask someone or didn't, you know, end up asking her, she wouldn't know the answer and I wouldn't know the answer. And, you know, I would have been stuck for a lot longer.
Yep. And it's funny that neither one of you happen to know how to do that. And I think it's validating and a little cathartic to realize that, oh, it's not just me. I think so often we tend to feel like, oh, but I'm the only one who doesn't know this. And
right,
you're probably not.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's empowering for you. And it's humbling actually a little bit that you're like, you know what? That old saying, how does it go? It's either, you know, the goal is you want to know everything about something and something about everything. Mm. So I really take that to heart, especially when it comes to business, because I can't know everything. And there's technology, especially, just changes so fast that if I constantly am asking like, hey, Laura, how do you do this? Or, hey, Laura, I saw that you did this really cool piece with your recording and I don't know how to do that. 9 times out of 10, you're going to be happy to tell me those answers. So, and then I can learn some more and then I can be better for it and kind of, you know, again, keeping that ball rolling. So it's a useful habit that I learned early on in my career, and it's not one that I'm going to stop anytime soon.
Tell me about an opportunity that you missed because you held back. Why did you hold back? And if you could have a do-over, what would you do or say differently?
That's actually an interesting question. So there was one time in my career, this is probably 5 or 6 years ago, and we were going to be going through a rebranding. And the opportunity that I missed is that I was sitting in a room when they were talking about rebranding it, and my gut told me that it was the wrong move to make. And I had a variety of reasons. I knew the facts behind it. I knew that the direction was wrong. I knew that the analytics weren't pointing to there. I knew the facts behind it, but I didn't speak up loudly enough because it was a new role that I was in. It was a new job. I didn't have my voice in that community yet. And I didn't speak up loud enough. And we ended up taking a different direction that I knew was wrong and going down this path. And then lo and behold, 3 or 4 months later, we had to cease and desist and kind of rework everything. It ended up being a lot of work for our team. And I really regret that for not speaking up louder and not saying, hey, guys, this is the wrong direction. And here is why, and lay out the facts before it. And I think that that really was just a great reminder to me to not let that happen again and to make sure that I am speaking up, because it's better to speak up and maybe have a silly idea or get it shot down. Or if no one really follows my bouncing ball or my analytics that I, you know, my, you know, conclusions that I draw from that data, as opposed to all the work that we made for ourselves by me not speaking up. So it created a lot more work going down that path. So it was definitely an opportunity that was missed, but it was my own fault because I wasn't speaking up and I wasn't advocating for myself or my opinion. And that definitely is something that I regret.
I'm curious, if you go back in time, what was the little voice inside your head? What was it saying that convinced you to just keep your mouth shut?
Well, so I did suggest us going in another direction, but I didn't push hard enough. And I think it was because there were louder voices in the room. And I really had only been on that job about a week when all of this went down. So I was still getting my feet under myself and I didn't know the personalities well enough to have that trust and collaboration. And that works as a deterrent if you don't have that confidence when you're in a role, because it could lead to a direct result of having to redo work, which is what I faced at the time. So my team and I, because I didn't speak up, you know, I was definitely part of that conversation where I should have pushed harder for it because I knew it was going to be the wrong direction. It ended up creating a lot more work for my team to have to clean up 3-4 months down the road. So I think in retrospect, what I should have done is just sucked it up and spoken a little bit louder and made sure that my data was being read and made sure that I was being an advocate for that different idea because it was based in fact. It wasn't just a random opinion or an idea. I firmly believe that no idea is a bad idea. I mean, it may not make sense. It may not come to fruition. It may, you know, not be the right timing, but it's good to have ideas and to kind of talk those through. So me not flushing out that idea to really let them know why it was supported led to a lot more work down the road, unfortunately.
So I'm curious because I think, especially as you mentioned, you were newer in the role and there were a lot of other loud, strong opinions that were coming up. For somebody else who can very easily see themselves currently in that role or recently or however long. Everybody knows that I've frequently said the biggest gap in the world is the 3 inches between our brains and our mouths. Like, we know we should do something. Like, okay, I know I should speak up for this. I know I should advocate more for my own opinion. I know I should do X. But we open our mouth and nothing happens. So how do we translate? How do we bridge that gap? How would you start that conversation? So you've given your suggestion. It got, I don't know, dismissed, or they sort of talked about it for a second and then somebody else said, but what about X? And then that took over the conversation and yours was forgotten. What would you say? What would be the words that could have, should have come out to redirect back to your point? How would you do that?
I think I should have redirected that conversation by saying, you know, if we're talking about X now and I needed to get back to Y, I would have just been bluntly saying, okay, if when we're done with X, let's circle back to Y. Let's finish this conversation. I really think it's important you look at these data sets and really gone through the logic as to why I was making that suggestion to go in a different direction. Because sometimes you need to have that redirection just that simply, like, okay, this is great that we talked about this. Let's circle back to this, which I know is the cliche, especially in business right now. But I mean, you know, if the shoe fits, then you wear it, pun intended. So
I think that's so important for people to just feel like it's okay to say yes. And when we're done, I need to come back to this point. We need to come back to this point and explain without a long explanation at that point, but the why it's essential to come back to this, not just because I want to talk about my idea. I like my idea better.
Right. And I also think in retrospect too, which is something I routinely do, I just didn't do it at this time again for, I think mostly because I was new in the role and not comfortable enough yet to speak louder, but there should have been follow-up on it where even if they said, no, we're going in a different direction, I should have put that in a nice package with my data set and some, you know, hard facts of why we should go in a certain direction and sent a follow-up email afterwards and said, you know, hey, I know we discussed this here, but here are these points for you guys to review so that we could have bring it back, you know, top of mind so that hopefully that could still be adjusted before we went down that path for a couple months and then had to redo some of that work.
I don't know about you, but I certainly find that there are times when I bring something up with someone, maybe by email, maybe by a call, and they say, okay, we'll let you know, we'll think about it. And then I sit there and think I'm playing tennis and it's like, well, I volleyed, they're going to now volley back. And then I just keep waiting forever and I think about other things and it's like, maybe they did legitimately plan to get back to me at some point, but then life got in the way and they didn't. I can't sit there and wait forever. I need to put a note on my calendar or something, follow up if I don't hear from them by X point. If it's my idea and I want them to take it seriously, I have to be a little more proactive about this kind of thing.
Exactly. And actually, I think that that point is so important to make here, which is just that life does get in the way, right? And it's not just personal life, it's business life too. I mean, I think most companies, and especially at P360, just moves so fast and we're so agile and there's always a client need. There's always something customization happening. There's always something that I'm getting pulled into. And that's wonderful and exciting. And it's what makes my job interesting. But those things that, you know, are kind of on that agenda list that you want to kind of tick through, if they don't get done, I have to move them to the next time that, like, the next list that I'm going to be going through on the next week's call or whenever we're touching point about it again. Because otherwise, like you said, life just happens and it gets in the way and it's just things get shuffled off that list and it's unfortunate. So you really do have to be as proactive as possible when you're trying to get your point across or wanting to flush out those conversations to make sure that everybody's comfortable with what decisions they're making.
And that's presupposing positive intent on everybody's part, that you've got a team who genuinely works well together and does want to give due time and attention to everybody's ideas, but life gets in the way. And then, of course, there are those other environments where maybe it's not quite so lovely, happy, joy, joy, kumbaya. Everybody gets along all the time with each other. And you may still have to advocate even that much harder, but it's rarely just easy where everything volleys at a normal pace. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's very fair. And I feel that a lot. I'm very blessed to have an extremely talented team behind me that really does try to keep everything moving as smoothly as possible. But, you know, things come up, especially like, say, there's a client need. A client need comes in and that kind of trumps most of the things that are on your list, right? So at least that's what happens in my experience. So really trying to shuffle those things back up and making sure those things that might go all lower on the totem pole still have their, you know, day in the sun and they can still be addressed.
Yes. Okay. Well, we could go way down those rabbit holes. We're going to redirect a little bit on this topic and move on because there's so much more I want you to talk to me about. Tell me about a time on the flip side when you decided to take a big risk. What was at stake and how did you communicate your decision to key stakeholders?
There's been a lot of risks that I've taken in my career. I mean, I think that's just the nature of marketing, right? But there was a time when we do a lot of email campaigns, so a lot of digital outreach, because that's the world we live in right now, right? But I had this time where fairly recently that I said, you know what? We weren't reaching the people that I thought we should be reaching. So let's pivot this a little bit and let's do a little bit more of this guerrilla style marketing. Let's see if we can reach people with a tangible item and physically send them something and physically get them involved so that while we're out there and we're doing this outreach and we're having in-person meetings, we could have that physical piece to kind of tie back into the campaigns, not just on the digital side, but digital and in-person. Because, you know, they used to say it took 7 touch points for someone to, you know, to pay attention to you. So it was a scene, a billboard, you know, getting an email from somebody, you know, then, you know, a conversation that they had. And then they're like, oh yeah, I remember you, Kate. And now that number is up to 17. So it's just, you know, there's so much information out there coming all at once. So really for me to take that risk of trying to put something in person and doing a little bit of kind of an old school guerrilla marketing to tie into that digital marketing was a kind of an easy sell for the stakeholders for me, because I went into it with, hey, let's just try this. It's not going to be that high of a risk for, you know, I'm not asking to spend $30 million on a campaign. I'm asking to keep on brand with this. I'm asking to raise awareness and then set goals realistically. And I usually come in with these crazy harebrained ideas for that are risk inducing or a little bit different with data to support me. So I really do follow like, okay, here's what it's going to cost. Here's the timeline that I'm going to break. You know, I'm going to roll this out in. Here's what I need for resources to help. And here's the results that I'm hoping to get. And if I lay it out like that, I think that kind of takes like the uneasiness off of something new. So it's the risk seems a little bit more manageable. And I've had success with getting it through to stakeholders that way, because they see it laid out for them as far as like, okay, these are the logistics with it. I know what I'm going to get. I know what this is going to look like. And then you decide to take a chance. And in this instance with the guerrilla marketing, it actually worked out beautifully because we had people talking about it for, you know, weeks and weeks past that. And every once in a while, you'll still see that piece of branded merchandise come up every once in a while. So yeah, I think it was a success and I'm glad I took that risk.
What was the physical, tangible piece that you used at that point? You're a digital SaaS provider. So what did they get?
We actually did some t-shirts that we had printed up, and the t-shirts were, you know, you're on mute. So we passed them out at conferences. We had sent them to people, and it was people heard about it and then were like coming over to our booth, and people were talking about it on phone calls afterwards. And it was been kind of this like on running joke. And it actually worked out really nicely for us because we got a lot of recognition that way. So it was great to kind of mix that up and have that whole kind of full circle with the digital, the physical, the conferences, and everything kind of tick and tie together. So it worked out nicely.
I like that. A marketing company who's telling other people you're on mute, how to get that off. That was very clever. Was that yours or was that part of your team's idea?
Part of the team's. It's all a team effort.
It's all a team effort. Groupthink. Yep. Not groupthink, but that's the right word I'm looking for. Just that sort of collaborative.
Yeah, that like little think tank. Yeah, the whiteboarding. Yeah, all that stuff.
All that kind of fun stuff. I know there's a better word for it. It'll come to me as soon as we're done with the interview, I'm sure.
Of course. So, yeah.
Well, I think that aside from challenging myself to come up with the word that I'm looking for at the moment, let's challenge the listeners. This is your chance for our 24-hour influence challenge, where you get to challenge everyone to take one step that they can complete within 24 hours to have more influence. Crowdsourcing. That's the word I'm looking for. Of sorts.
Crowdsourcing.
I knew there was one. Okay. So back into it. Yeah. Redirect. So time for your 24-hour listener influence challenge. Kate, how would you like to challenge our listeners today?
Sure. I'd love to challenge anybody who's listening in the next 24 hours to find their resume, dust it off, and then look at it and think about how you would write it a year from now. So what would you add to it that would be a year from now? So would it be a sentence about a course or a certification that you went through in the next year? Is it a new role that you're hoping to have changed on your resume? Whatever that update would be for your future resume, if you could write that in the next 24 hours, that's my challenge, because that's a great way to, you know, if I look at my resume and I'm projecting what do I want to see in there in a year, it's a great way for me to set that goal for what's happening in a year. So I would challenge your listeners to do that.
I love that. And nobody likes to update their resume when they have to. It's like, oh, right, this is the last time that I actually wrote anything in. But you know what? Just as a little bit of a game, a little thought exercise to say, what should that piece? Now, maybe you haven't updated it in the last 10 years, so you've got a lot that's missing. Don't worry about updating all the rest of that stuff in between. Just what's the piece that you would add between today and 1 year from today? And what would that look like? I love that idea. It's really kind of finds that balance between the manifestation in the universe on one hand, but also thinking it more strategically about what would that look like? What would I have to do to make that happen? And just getting the wheels in motion.
Exactly. Yeah. And just, you know, that whole thought process to kind of have that forward looking piece of planning your next year, I think is just such a huge mind shift for a lot of people.
And it gives people a lot to look forward to. It gets you excited when you sort of feel like you haven't been looking any further ahead than the end of your nose, just from one day to the next, getting through it little by little. The idea of opening up that horizon a little bit can be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, what's a communication skill that you weren't born with and had to learn? How did you develop it?
Probably would be delegation. Delegation did not come easy for me. So that is something I definitely had to train myself on. And I think this goes back to early career, even before marketing. I think when I was in college, I worked in retail in a management role. And, you know, you have to learn very fast to be able to delegate things because you can't do it all yourself, right? So I think early, especially in marketing, though, you know, I want to do it all because I want to do a good job. Sure. And I want to complete the tasks and I want to impress my manager or so forth. But that's not logical. And it's not the most efficient use of your time. I am, again, very lucky to have a great team of people that I work with. And each one of them has a different skill set that really can shine in those specific skill sets. So it's actually way more efficient for our team for me to delegate certain operations or certain tasks to them that we can all come together and kind of cohesively create that same project or goal and keep that ball rolling down the hill, as I said. But that didn't come naturally for me. I really did have to stop and think about it and say, okay, is this worth my time? Is it worth my time for me to learn an entirely new program when I have a team member that knows how to do it already? I should learn at least the surface of how to do it. And I should learn some ins and outs of it so that I can understand as far as from an expectation standpoint. But really to spend all that time, if I have somebody that's been using a program as an example for 5 years, and I'm just getting into it, it's going to be more efficient for them to use it. And the work product's probably going to be better. So it's something I definitely had to work on. And, you know, I still catch myself sometimes saying, okay, I need to chop this up in the best way that's going to be efficient for my team. I don't know that it comes naturally to most people, but maybe I'm just a little naive on that front.
I think certain aspects of it certainly are difficult for just about everybody, unless it's something you really don't want to do. Then people are a little more enthusiastic to offload it, perhaps. But, you know, you said something that caught my ear, which was questions that you started to ask yourself in deciding whether or not something should be delegated. And one was, you know, is this worth my time? Mm-hmm. Which is a great question. What other questions could someone ask themselves, or do you ask yourself to identify whether or not this is a task that you should be doing or that you should delegate?
So is it worth my time? And I don't mean that as I don't want to do it, because in life and in business, there's things I have to do that, you know, sometimes I don't want to do. You know, I don't want to fold the laundry, but I still have to do it, right? So is it worth my time? Meaning, is it going to be efficient for me to do it? And is it going to be the most valuable use of my time? So if I could be doing another piece of the project, does it make sense for me to do other pieces at the same time? Also skill set. So I have a team member who is, I mean, he's a magician when it comes to videos. And I can make a basic video, but I don't have the skill set that this team member has. He's so good at it. So it would be an inefficient use of time if I tried to make a demo video when I could delegate that to this specific team member who can produce it faster, it can look much more professional, and it's going to end up being a much better product that we can use and leverage as collateral. So it's kind of a win-win on all those fronts. So use of my time, the skill sets, and then prioritization is a big thing. So if I have it on my plate, and yes, I can do it, and yes, it would be worth my time, but I have other things like client needs or client asks or something that are higher on the priority list, and there's another team member that can also do it and do just as good of a job, then delegation might be important for me to do at that time, because just from a priority or a bandwidth standpoint.
I think that's great. So let's see, the top three questions to ask yourself, at least as a starting point for mm-hmm. whether or not to delegate is this worth my time? So i.e., is it the best use of my time
right
relative to everything else? Number two, is it my skill set? And is there someone else who has a greater level of skill in this area? Whether or not, and maybe you actually like doing those things, because often we tend to distract ourselves with the things that are fun, but we should delegate somebody else. And number three, the prioritization. Is there something else that should be higher up on my priority list that would take away the time that I would otherwise give to this other task? Did I get that correct? Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's, you nailed it.
Awesome. That's thank you for those three. So I'm going to jot those down myself. Yeah. Now, was there ever a time when you had to speak up as the lone voice of dissent or disagreement?
Yeah, actually, I had one of them as an example I mentioned earlier about the direction for a rebranding project. I definitely was the lone voice saying that we shouldn't go in that direction. It wasn't that the other people in the room were 180 degrees off for me, but I was definitely the one who thought it should be in a specific direction. And I explained before how it didn't go very well because I didn't speak up loud enough and I didn't follow up. So it ended up with more work for me. So I take it as a really important lesson of just making sure that, especially when I know, when there's data behind it, it's not just an idea that I want the chair blue instead of red. It's not just an opinion, but it's like based in fact. I really need to kind of stand my ground and say, hey, let's take another look at this. And that's okay. It's good to have those conversations too. I think that when I was early in my career, you know, sometimes you're a little bit gun shy from speaking up or kind of making your point because you don't have that confidence level there. But I think my career has taught me that it's okay to stand up and have those disagreements with people, you know, obviously in a professional and polite manner, but having those disagreements because not everybody's going to see things the same way. And it's okay for me to speak my voice and not follow the whole crowd because, you know, that's sometimes that's how the best ideas kind of get flushed out.
And you were in a place where the other advocates for a different side were open to hearing your dissent?
So with the one with the brewery branding, they were not. Mm. And I think that was part of the reason why I didn't speak up louder. But I think that speaks also to just your team dynamics too. In that role in particular, I learned so much from that role. But also it was, the dynamic was very different where, you know, there was one voice in particular who made the final decisions and there wasn't as much conversation if they had already made that decision, as opposed to at P360, it's very collaborative and very much like I say all the time to my team, I'm like, you know, if you have an idea when you're brushing your teeth, just bring it in, you know, and it can be somebody from, you know, HR, it can be somebody in development, it can be somebody in marketing. I want to hear it all. I want all that feedback here because I think it just makes for the better output at the end.
And that makes such a difference too, doesn't it? The dynamics of the team, the nature of the topic being discussed. Is this something where the committee of sorts is going to have to come to, if not a consensus, at least a reasonable agreement as far as next step? Or does one person have the final veto power or approval authority? And that's the person whose buy-in you need and everybody else.
Right.
You know, yes, you want to hear what they have to say, but in the end, you don't have to get them to approve first. You want to get them on board later so everybody's not dragging their feet and otherwise sabotaging the success of it. But those kinds of dynamics can really make a difference about how you need to approach it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the dynamic of a team trying to get to a goal is as much of an important, if not more important than who the audience is, because that team functioning together cohesively is really going to make or break what's going to end up being the final product. And that's going to determine if success is met and what that success looks like. So the dynamics of your team and understanding them is really so, so important, at least to me. And I've really been very blessed as far as my team right now to just have, you know, that open line of communication between us all.
Yeah, I think anybody who argues that the dynamics of the team don't matter that much is someone who probably doesn't work on a very big team.
Right.
Or exactly. Any team.
That's
for
very
that
telling. Yeah.
All right. Telling. Well, finally, Kate, tell me about a time when you had to laugh at yourself.
Gosh, there's so many. This past weekend, I was supposed to be going to a party, an end of year party for my son's baseball. And I found out, so I was dressed to go to a party, a pool party at that. And I found out the last minute, kind of on the way, I had to go to my other son's charity baseball game in 95 degree heat, in a swimsuit and a cover up. So I had to laugh at myself because, you know, it's sitting on the side of a baseball field in the hot sun, 95 degree weather, as opposed to celebrating with pizza at a pool party is a very different environment. So, you know, you just kind of have to roll with it and laugh at yourself at that point.
And sweat.
Right. It was a lot of that. It was just like a natural sauna out there. So, you know, pros and cons.
Yes, 95 degrees. I have to say I'm on the side of the pro pool party option of the two. But way to commit to the baseball game there and showing support where it needed to be. We love our kids. If that's not proof that we love our kids, I don't know what is.
Exactly. You know, you make it through and you do what you got to do. So.
Okay. Well, Kate, thank you so much for joining us today. How can people learn more about you and the company?
You can go to p360.com to learn more about P360. I'm on there. You can find me there as well as on LinkedIn. So /Kate McQuaid, and then connect with me there to learn more.
Fabulous. And of course, we'll put those links in our show notes as well. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Laura. I appreciate your time.
And to everybody else out there, thank you as always for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on your platform of choice or checking out the website ratethispodcast.com/influence. Follow their instructions to do so as well. And finally, if you want to download my free guide to equipment recommendations for virtual influence, including my picks for microphones, lights, and more, go to speakingtoinfluence.com. I'm Dr. Laura Sokola, and you're listening to Speaking to Influence, communication secrets of the C-suite.
Thanks for listening to Speaking to Influence, communication secrets of the C-suite, the show for leaders who want to speak with impact. The hosts, producers, owners, and media distributors of the show make no guarantees that the strategies and information discussed will result in profit or other success and may result in losses. The opinions and statements of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the owners, staff, managers, broadcasters, or sponsors of the show. No medical or psychological therapy or personal or professional wellness or relationship advice is offered in the show. You are advised to seek counsel on matters related to your health, family, relationships, job, or other business and legal matters from licensed advisors in those areas prior to making any changes in business or lifestyle. No information provided may be suitable in your situation. As always, take responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the reactions they may make in your work, family, health, and life.